Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. President Joe Biden will be making more and more campaign stops as the 2024 election approaches. And you're probably going to hear him hype up his green credentials every chance he gets, like he did at the State of the Union.
I'm taking the most significant action ever on climate in the history of the world.
But those green credentials are actually a tension point within the Democratic Party right now about how far to go on combating fossil fuels and how quickly. For example, I've talked before about how the president's allies in critical swing states like Pennsylvania say his decision to pause new exports of U.S. natural gas went too far. But the environmental wing of the party is also pressing for Biden to take even stronger action on gas exports. That's what I confirmed in a recent conversation with a vocal climate hawk, Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon, who told me the president's green efforts are, quote, insufficient to win over the young voters that Biden needs. So today, I want you to hear my extended conversation with Senator Merkley. We talk about Biden's climate record, the controversial LNG pause, and the internal climate tension within the party. It's Thursday, March 14th.
Senator Merkley, you scored a pretty big win recently with the president's decision to put a pause on LNG exports. Of course, there's been a lot of reaction to that decision. It's been somewhat controversial. Starting there, I mean, is the pause and what the president did here exactly what you were looking to see? Or is there something more that you want to come from this?
Well, let's put this into context. We currently have 7 export facilities, but there are another 17 that have already been approved. And so there's a huge expansion coming. We've tripled our exports of LNG since 2018, and we would more than triple for just the ones, additional ones that have been approved. So this pause is saying, hey, there's already a huge volume of additional export capacity underway, but we really need to start thinking about this in context of its impact on climate and the impact on domestic prices and the impact on American leadership in the world.
And I'm wondering if you could kind of take us behind the scenes a little. I mean, given you've been such a leader in this space, is it something before the president made this announcement? Did you meet with, you know, administration officials? Did you discuss this with them? And I, you know, if you didn't, I mean, I guess, like, is there anything else you would have told them or advice you would have given them kind of going into it?
Yes, I had a lot of conversations. I had conversations with John Kerry's team. I had conversations directly with the White House team that was working on energy issues. I went to the White House and had breakfast with a key member to go over the science of fossil gas. And I wanted to make sure that science was understood and also how the impact of the U.S. continuing to expand fossil gas affected our voice in the world, because the rest of the world is going, don't talk to us about climate, don't talk to us about our coal, our fossil fuels, when in the U.S., you're greatly expanding your production.
I mean, was it a difficult case to make to them? Because from my understanding, there was somewhat of a split, and folks in the State Department really kind of value the geopolitical, you know, advantage, they'll say, that we've had from LNG in recent months with Ukraine and the European countries moving off Russia. Was it a difficult case, you think?
No, it's really not a difficult case to make once you look at the facts.
Well, for example, to understand, I guess. Not for you to make, but for them
no,
to accept.
No, actually, I found that the folks I was talking to had been really educating themselves on the facts and starting to understand it. But there was this pressure to say, hey, isn't this something that we should go light on because of the power of the fossil community, so more politics than science? One of the arguments being, well, look, isn't this needed for Europe? And the fact is, no. We have greatly accentuated our exports to Europe, and Europe is trying to now decrease their fossil gas footprint. So they are not looking to us to have more fossil gas coming from the U.S. in the future. And in fact, they want to decrease it. And here's the thing. There's already another tripling of fossil gas in the pipeline. So there's no valid argument about how new permits are needed right now on additional facilities to serve Europe.
Yeah, given that there's so much coming online, and as you said, I mean, Europe should have kind of plenty in the pipeline from the U.S. coming. Would you say when this review is done, Is there any scenario in which Biden should be approving a new LNG project? Because they are looking at it from climate, and some would say there are cases where, you know, India, you're replacing coal, right, in a specific, maybe there's a project there. I mean, there could be individual cases where on a net benefit basis, the LNG could be good.
No, there is not. Let's just take the science. So what you have is a lot of methane escaping at the point of production. Then you use additional energy to liquefy it, and additional energy to ship it overseas, additional methane that is lost out of the pipes in the receiving country. It's clearly worse than local coal. So there's no scenario in which shipping LNG to India is advantageous for the climate. But let me point out this. It's not just climate that the administration is looking at. They're saying we need to watch out for the American consumer. And we're talking about the more you ship overseas, the more the prices increase here at home.
And just to be clear, because you know the president and his administration have gone out of their way to make sure to call this a pause, because there are Republicans trying to weaponize this and say it's a ban. But you're saying you think by the end of this review, there should be no more approvals of any LNG project in the United States.
That's correct.
Obviously, this decision does come in the context of the 2024 elections. A lot of people think the decision was geared at least somewhat towards creating enthusiasm with young voters, environmentally minded voters who might have been disappointed with aspects of the president's record on fossil fuels. Do you have any concerns that this decision was made for political reasons and that kind of when the election passes, business as usual picks
there
back
up? There is no major policy decision in America doesn't have some political content. And the situation here is that Biden has been an all the above president. Yes, he's been promoting policies to increase the production of solar energy and wind energy, but also to increase oil and gas production. And we are now the largest oil producer in the world, the largest gas producer in the world. The president approved North Slope drilling in the Willow Project. He proceeded to support a pipeline here, the Mountain Valley Pipeline on the East Coast. And there's a whole host of other pro-fossil decisions. And so it is absolutely true that the youth who are associated with the Sunrise Movement, they're kind of going, wait a minute. Hey, our generation is going to be the ones to suffer these increasing impacts. And so a continuous expansion of fossil infrastructure is unacceptable. And so there is both a policy content there and a political context, because our young folks are like, you're going to all going to be dead. You old folks are going to be dead, but we're going to have to live with these stronger storms, bigger forest fires, more smoke, more rising sea level. So what are you doing? And that's an important political consideration.
Yeah. And you clearly are in touch with these environmental groups, Sunrise among them. I mean, what's your sense on, do you feel like this decision on LNG from the president was sufficient to make up for some of these other pro-fossil decisions you mentioned? Or are they still not enthusiastic and maybe not going to come out and vote for the president?
I think there's a lot of concern still, because the question might be, hey, what will a second administration look like? Will it be an administration that takes climate change much more seriously? Now, in this last few years, President Biden's team has produced big victories in terms of the IRA, Inflation Reduction Act, that produces more. We're going to have more charging stations, accelerating the transition to electric vehicles. We're going to have more production of renewable solar and renewable wind. So there are some very positive things there. But the arc of the curve is totally insufficient to meet the challenge. So the next administration, there's going to be a hope and a prayer that it pivots to being far more aggressive on both the demand and the supply side.
How do you plan to keep the pressure on, assuming the president gets a second term, for them to actually, you know, make this pause more than a pause and potentially not approve many or any projects?
Can we just get through November and see that there is a second term? Then we'll be prepared to have those conversations. But it comes back to the science. That's the bedrock on what drives all of this. Certainly, there will always be political considerations. In a second Biden term, there's going to be a 2 years out. You're worried about the makeup of Congress and in fossil production states, that's a factor. That was always an overlay of politics. But no other country listens to us in a serious way right now on fossils. I went last year to Vietnam and Indonesia, and they will say, we've got a 2035 goal just like the U.S. We've got a 2050 goal just like the U.S. And those goals are easy to set because they're into the distance. They're mirages on the horizon while the recent decisions are all about more extraction, just as the recent decisions here in the U.S. have been about more extraction.
So you don't think the U.S. has any chance to meet its 2035 target under Biden for
the 2035 target?
Carbon-free power. Yeah.
The 2035 is complete all of our electricity coming from renewable energy. So I've laid out the
math. Carbon-free, right?
Yeah. Carbon-free. Yeah. That's right. Carbon-free energy. Yeah. To meet that goal, if half of that power has to come from solar, which I think most people feel at least half of it would have to come from solar, we'd have to deploy over 3 billion solar panels between now and 2035. We are not close to on track to make that happen.
Would you say we're not close to on track to meeting the goal period outside of solar? I mean,
no, we are not. No, we're absolutely not. No.
Wow. Just one more on the LNG politics. I mean, it's not just Republicans who are concerned about this move or critical. I mean, I just reported a story on how this is playing out in Pennsylvania, a key state to this election. You know, Senators Casey and Fetterman, both Democrats, oppose the policy. Casey in particular is in a pretty tough race that matters for whether Democrats can maintain the Senate. I mean, what would you say to your colleagues who have concerns? And again, I mean, the alternative is Trump, right? And he'd be worse on climate. So just what would you say to people who are very concerned on what this would mean for them in your party?
Well, I'm always happy to go over the science with them, but I'm not going to advise them on their home state politics. They know that a lot better than I do.
Fair enough. And then just one more. I mean, on the other side, you know, Republicans, as I said, are kind of jumping the gun and saying this is a ban on exports, even though, as we've discussed, I mean, exports are set to grow for years. There's plenty in the pipeline. Any concern the administration kind of handed Biden's opposition, you know, messaging kind of vehicle to say, oh, Biden's against U.S. energy production, you know, given how much prices have really weighed on people in the last couple election cycles?
Well, here's the key thing. What Biden is saying is we're not going to let big oil and gas raise the cost to Americans of heating their homes. And so Biden has a strong political position out of this of saying, hey, the Republicans are standing up for big companies that want to export to China because it's China that's actually the main recipient of this future gas coming out of the United States. But I, President Biden, I'm standing up for the American consumer. We don't want to see a 20% price hike in people's ability to heat their home and heat their water.
I do want to transition to another topic that's top of mind for a lot of people in the energy world is permitting reform. It's like this broad topic interested Democrats and Republicans kind of over the last couple of years really picked up steam. It's something where you haven't shown quite as much interest as far as like passing legislation on it compared to some other Democrats in the Senate who might be in a different space, which is kind of interesting given, right? I mean, a lot of analysts will say we need to really build a ton of transmission. The Congress really needs to step in here. And if we're going to make good on IRA, we need to build a whole lot more. And there probably will be trade-offs, maybe lead to some fossil fuels permitted along the way if you're going to actually pass a bill. So I guess what's the kind of holding you back from being more of kind of a proactive leader on this issue?
Well, I've been very much advocating for permitting reform on the transmission of electricity, particularly in the context of wind farms. That's very much an essential part. The robustness of the grid and being able to move energy from region to region. What you have to do with renewables is balance supply and demand. However, if it's used as a lever to essentially vastly expand fossils, then it's a losing proposition. And so I'm all on board for transmission reform, all on board for permitting reform as related to wind, but I don't want to open the door to run over environmental laws to produce more oil and gas. That simply puts us on a path that not only accentuates climate change contributions by America, but it destroys our leadership in the world working with other nations.
And I know you opposed the Manchin proposal. I think it was the end of 2022 now. I mean, this was a Schumer-supported transmission language around cost allocation that, you know, analysts say would make a big emissions dent. Of course, MVP was in that as well at the time. I mean, you just didn't feel like that the math checked out there because, you know, a lot of analysts said, again, if you're going to do the permitting reform, the clean energy will win out. We're building a lot more clean, right? I mean, you might approve of MVP, but in the grand scheme, that's not going to do as much damage.
Yeah, that was putting a little lipstick on a pig analysis.
We know, you know, Manchin is still hoping to get something done on permitting. He's talking with John Barrasso, top Republican on the Energy Committee. What's your relationship like with either of them? I mean, and what do you need to hear from them to kind of like come to the table and actually maybe, I don't know if you think anything's possible this year, but if you do, you know, what would you want to hear from them?
Well, listen, the relationship personally is just fine. But if we are talking policy, we see it differently. Both Senator Manchin and Senator Barrasso are all out advocates for fossil fuel expansion. I would encourage them to quit looking at the short term, but they come from fossil fuel states, and they're reflecting the politics of their home states. And so we're arguing different sides.
Just to be clear, though, with transmission, you know, FERC has a couple of dockets open, including interregional planning. They're looking at cost allocation, but Congress has to act in your opinion to actually build the transmission that we need.
FERC is a completely captured agency by the fossil industry. They're supposed to, by law, show that there is American need and value, but they say American need means, of course, there's automatically more need for more fossils. So they rubber stamp everything. They have no integrity on their scientific analysis. They are captured politically, and so they are useless in terms of actually being an agency that has any regulatory value in producing reasonable outcomes.
So Congress would need to act then, given you don't trust FERC to do it on transmission?
Well, on transmission, absolutely.
And then just lastly, this is kind of like a big picture on permitting. You know, you've kind of got at it a little bit, but there clearly is this like political tension among, I think, both Democrats and like the clean energy industry and like aspects of the environmental movement, where there's some folks who say, you know, the environmental movement has to be about making it easier now to like build things. Like there was a mindset before, we need to stop build out of particularly fossil infrastructure, but now, you know, we need to be open to, you know, relaxing some rules. And of course, there's folks like you who just really just don't want to see any expansion, period. And if there's trade-offs, you see the fossil side is worse. Like, so do you see these two visions as like reconcilable within the Democratic Party and like the broader environmental movement?
At the last climate conference, the decision that the world came to was we have to quit building new fossil infrastructure. It wasn't a shutdown of existing infrastructure, but we've got to at least stop expanding what we're doing. If the U.S. and other nations just say, well, we want everybody else to quit building their fossil infrastructure, but, you know, we want another dollar of foreign exchange and or help out our most powerful companies, then the whole system falls apart. So we are seeing a situation where our political system has been deeply corrupted by dark money and fossil fuel money. We have a big challenge to come out of that and actually serve the people of the United States.
But just on this point for a second, because it's not just the fossil fuel industry now, there's the clean energy industry seems to be at odds a little bit with, again, progressives in the environmental movement and folks like yourself. I mean, are you hearing that? Is that difficult to manage?
Well, they're not making the scientific argument. They're making the political argument. And the wind industry lobby merged with the gas industry lobby. And so this is a tremendous problem. They did it because they said, you know, we want short-term profits for the wind industry, so we'll use the power of the fossil fuel industry. And of course, what that means is that instead of taking the path that we need to take, that science tells us we need to take, that climate change tells us we need to take, it's like, well, we'll produce a little more wind, but we'll produce a lot more fossils. That is an evil partnership.
Thank you, Senator Merkley, for joining the Politico Energy Podcast. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.